If you were here with us on Friday night, then you would have heard this passage read. It's from the Gospel of Luke. It's about the crucifixion of Jesus. This is from Luke chapter 23. It says, two men, both criminals, were led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, the soldiers crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. The soldiers divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching. The rulers sneered at him. They said, he saved others? Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you're under the same sentence? We're punished justly. We're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. This is not the only crucifixion that happened in the Roman Empire. They crucified tens of thousands of people. We don't know exactly when this is in time and history. We know it takes place in Jerusalem over Passover, which is this week for us right now. It's early spring. It's around 30 AD when this happens. But this would not have been the first crucifixion that people witnessed, and it certainly wasn't the last. And the author of this story, his name is Luke, he tells us the reactions of all these different people who are watching. Most people have no reaction. The crowd just stands watching. They don't engage, they don't say anything, we're not told they're thinking anything, they just see it, and that's it. We're told that some of the city rulers are kind of, they've got their little huddle off, and they're sneering at him. They're kind of making fun of him. They're like, well, oh yeah, this guy, he said he was God's anointed, right? He's the chosen one. Well, then let him save himself. Like, okay, let him prove it. Come on down if he's the chosen one. They're on the side talking to each other about Jesus. The soldiers aren't talking about Jesus. They're talking to him. They are at the foot of the cross looking up at him and mocking him. They're like, oh, you're the king, huh? Come on down, king boy. Show us what you got. They're mocking him to his face. One of the two criminals crucified with him is just furious with him and yelling at him. Well, you're the Messiah, do something. All of these people are reacting to Jesus' death. They're just watching it, or they're angry about it, or they're sneering, or they're mocking. And then there's this one guy, this one other criminal, who it seems to be delusional. Because he's looking, he's going to be dead in a couple hours at best, and he's looking at another guy who's going to be dead in a couple hours. And he says to him, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus is apparently just as delusional because he answers him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This guy is being crucified. He's got a sign above his head that has the charge, which is sedition. It's treason. He claims to be a king. There's only one king, and that's the guy Rome installs, and this isn't it. There's one guy, and there he is. So they're killing him for claiming to be king. And this other criminal looks at him and seems to think he really is a king and he really does have a kingdom. And he says, remember me. And Jesus looks back at him and says, deal, done. Today, when I come into my kingdom, that's today. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And then they both die. That's the end of this story. Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathes his last. He's dead. And the guy next to him is dead. Eventually, all three of those guys on those crosses will be dead, and their bodies will be taken down and buried. And statistically, that has happened to every single person in history. These guys, the crowd, they're all dead now. The soldiers, the rulers, everybody in this story is long dead. And most biographies, this is where they end. They end when the guy dies. Or maybe they'll have an epilogue that will tell you something about the legacy that he left. We've got four versions of Jesus' life written by four different people. Two of them claim to be eyewitnesses. Two of them aren't. They claim that they talked to eyewitnesses. They didn't see it. They talked to other people. None of them end the story here. None of them end the biography of Jesus' life here. They all go on. I'm going to read you from John, what John has to say. He claims to be an eyewitness to all this. He says, on the evening of the first day of the week, so that's Sunday, Jesus was killed on a Friday. Saturday's the final day. It's the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. On the evening, that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you, he said. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. But Thomas, who's also known as Didymus, he was one of the 12 disciples. He wasn't with them when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, unless I put my finger where his nails were, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe you." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said again, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. If Jesus is just another guy who lived and who died, then how you respond to him, I mean, it's interesting, right? I was a classics major. You want to debate whether Julius Caesar was a better general than Alexander the Great? Oh, bring it on, baby. So I am all for it. We can spend hours talking about stuff like that. But it doesn't really matter. I think Star Trek is better. You think Star Wars is better, right? Okay, clearly you're wrong, but it doesn't really matter in the end. If Jesus is just another guy who lived and died, then sure, think whatever you want about him. Think he's great, think he's nothing. Be like the crowd and not care. Be like the other thief who's furious. Be like the soldiers who make fun. In the end, they're all dead. It doesn't matter. But every single one of the stories, we have four different stories from four different guys about Jesus, and none of them end with his death. They all go on and say that he lived and he died and he lived again and he's still alive. If Jesus is the only person in history who ever lived and died and then lived again and never died again, then how you respond to him matters. If he actually is a king, that sign over his head, it was true, it just didn't go far enough. He's not just king of the Jews. He's king, period, over everything. That's what he claimed. If that's true, then how you feel about him matters, because remember, in that story, only one guy got anything from the king. The crowd that was indifferent to him, they got nothing. He didn't address them. Nothing happened. They didn't involve him at all. The leaders who are sneering, the soldiers who are mocking, the other criminal who's furious, they're all giving him orders. Like they're saying to him, "Okay, you're the king, great, come down." That's a command, come down. You're the Messiah? Do something. Like, I'm giving you a command. Do something. Show me. Prove it. Nothing. He doesn't respond to any of those people. The only person he responds to is the guy who actually believes he is a king and who makes a request. Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. That guy, Jesus says, done. Deal. You know, think about it. If you went out and interviewed just random people, Jesus claims that he's the king of eternity, that he's the king of paradise. This guy's going to be with him in his kingdom in paradise that day. If you asked anybody, or if we just took a break, right, and asked each other, okay, imagine there really is a heaven. How would you get there? How would you get in? Like, most people, I think, would say, well, you got to live a good life. And we'd have to define what good is. You know, like, are they all equal? If I rob a bank and then I save a kitten, do those two balance each other? If I save two kittens, can I rob a bank? Because, you know, now I'm at like 66 2/3%. Two good, one bad. We'd have to figure all that out. But most people, I think, would say something about a good life, or maybe you need to do some really good thing. If you die saving a busload of children from being eaten by a giant shark, you are definitely going to heaven. Absolutely. No question. Maybe you're going to go the philosophical route and say, you know, you need to go live on a mountain. You need to detach from the world. You know, inner peace. Inner peace. If you are at peace, that's how you're going to get into eternity. This guy hanging on a cross, he's got nothing. Like, he's got nothing. He didn't live a good life. He admits it. I am being executed justly for my deeds. The text does not say this, but I think I can say confidently he did not die saving a busload of children from being eaten by a giant shark. I don't think the Romans are crucifying him because he saved a busload of children from a giant shark. He's a bad man. He's a man who's bad enough and violent enough that they're executing him rather than just beating you or scourging you or throwing you in prison. They're killing you. You've done something really bad. Like Jesus. Jesus is accused of treason, sedition, claiming to be the king instead of Rome. They're executing these guys. This is not a good guy. And he's not lived a good life. And he's not done good things. And Jesus says, you will be in my kingdom today because he asked. Because he believed. When Jesus asked, that Jesus is hanging there. He believed that Jesus was the king. And he asked. And Jesus said, yes. I don't know why you came here today. But lots of you I know, lots of you I don't. I hope you are here because you are a follower of Christ and you want to celebrate Easter. This is the most important day of the year for Christians. This is the most special, most wonderful day of the whole calendar for believers in Christ. This is the day we remember that Jesus died and rose again, that he died for our sins and he rose and defeated death. Death couldn't keep him, and that means it won't keep us. This is a day of celebration. If you are a follower of Christ, then amen. Celebrate with us now. Celebrate all day long. And never, ever forget that the only reason you can celebrate this is because Jesus said yes. That when we show up in his kingdom, we are not going to say anything like, well, you know, I once saved a busload of children who are about to be eaten by a shark. That's not going to do it. There's not going to be any I. We're not in Jesus' kingdom because I. We're in Jesus' kingdom because he said we could come. It's the only reason this guy is there and you can meet him one day. And it's the only reason any of us will be there, because Jesus said we could come because we believe he is the king. And he said yes, because he's gracious and he's generous. Even when they're killing him, he is asking his father not to hold this against him. When a guy dying next to him says, please don't forget me, he says, you got it. Absolutely. I will not forget you. You will be with me. As you celebrate today, if you are a follower of Christ, never think for a moment that God is lucky to have you. that you're here, that God is so fortunate to have someone like you in his kingdom. We are all there because Jesus is gracious, because he is kind, because he likes to say yes to people who don't deserve it like us. And if you are not a follower of Christ, if you are here because you're curious, if you're here because this is what your mom asked for Easter, you know, for whatever reason, whatever brings you here today, what do you think about this guy? Because if this story is true, it matters what you think about him. Okay, if it's not true, it doesn't. Again, it's academic. It's like Caesar versus Alexander the Great. It's an interesting discussion. Maybe you care, maybe you don't. But wow, you better be sure you know whether this story is true. Because hundreds of people claim to have seen him alive when he came back. Paul will tell the Corinthians at one point, look, if you don't believe me, just there's about 500 people back in Jerusalem. Ask any one of them. They are like, I didn't see him after he was alive, Paul says, but I've met hundreds of people who did. You don't believe me, talk to them. And you know, Thomas doesn't believe either. Like, if you don't buy this, if you don't think this is true, you are in good company. The disciple Thomas, a guy who walked with Jesus for 3 years, saw him do all his miracles, saw all this, he didn't believe it either. He thought Jesus had died and that was it. We were done. And he said what would need to happen. Like this, okay, I'll tell you, if I'm going to believe he's alive again, then I need to see the holes in his hands. I want to stick my hand, the soldiers, and to make sure he was dead, they stuck a spear in his side. Put a big gash in the side of him. Like, I want to see that gash. If he's come back to life, I want to see holes in his hands and a gash in his side. And Jesus does it. Like, when he shows back up, he says to Thomas, here, give me your hand. Here, put your finger right here. Here. Sick. Right. Look, this is what you said. You said you needed to see holes in my hand and holes in my side. Okay, you've seen them. Now believe. Believe me. Believe what they told you. Like, if you don't believe any of this, okay, what would it take? What would need to happen for you to believe? Like, seriously, what would need to happen? Because Thomas doesn't believe him, and Jesus does exactly what he asks for. So he believes. Ask. Like, what do you got to lose? I mean, seriously, if it's not true, you have nothing to lose by asking a God who's not really there a question that isn't going to get answered. But boy, if it is true, you need to know it. Because again, the crowd just comes to watch and they get nothing. Like again, I'm glad you're here, but if you just came to an Easter service to see an Easter service, you're going to get nothing from this. Like you're going to leave and go home and nothing is going to change. And the King of the universe offers to you that you will be with him in paradise one day if you want it. He won't make you. He doesn't force anybody, but he offers. If he left that guy in, again, I don't think any of you have been crucified. Your crimes are so bad. He let that guy in. He's probably going to be okay with you. If you don't believe any of it, ask him. Tell him. Like, okay, God, this is what I need to do. This is what I need. This is what I'd like to see if this is true. See what he does. You have nothing to lose. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for all of us who rejoice in this day because Jesus is alive. And I'm going to pray for any of you that don't believe a word of this. Like you just came to humor somebody. You came to check it out. I mean, most of the people at the crucifixion, right? They're just there to look. They're not involved. But again, they walk away with nothing. Only the guy who asked got something. So I'm going to pray for any of you who don't believe that you'll ask. Like that you will ask Jesus. Like, okay, if this guy's telling the truth, if this isn't all malarkey, here's what I'd like to see. Here's what would make me believe you. And then again, when he does it, you got to respond like Thomas. Thomas says, this is what I need to see. Jesus says, here it is. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He worships Jesus. He acknowledges the truth. Jesus is the Lord. He's the King. And he is God himself. Like, ask. See what he does. And when he does it, be like Thomas. Be like, okay, I'm in. So pray with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for kindness to this guy. I don't know what he did, but it was bad if he got crucified for it. And he just says one sentence to you. Please remember me when you come in your kingdom. And you do. Thank you. You are really gracious and really kind. And I know, Lord, that is the only reason I will stand before you. The only reason that I will be in your kingdom with you is because you are gracious and you are kind. And you said yes, because you love to say yes. So, Lord, I pray for all of us who know you that today would be a wonderful, tremendous day of celebration, that you did not stay dead, that you have defeated death, that death did not hold you and it will not hold us. And Lord, I pray for anyone here that doesn't believe a word of this, that has come to check it out or has come because someone asked them to or for whatever reason, I'm so glad they're here. Jesus, I pray that you would speak to them, that they would ask you and you would say yes, that what they need to know that this is all real, that you would do it for them because you did it for Thomas. And gosh, Thomas had known you for years. He should have known better. And you still were kind to him. Lord, I pray for anybody that doesn't know you, that they'll ask you and you will say yes to them. They will see it. And that they will be just like Thomas. They will acknowledge, yes, you are Lord and you are God. Thank you. Thank you that you are kind. Thank you that you are generous. Thank you that you did not have to do this. You died for us and you rose back to life for us. We are so grateful, Lord. So now, accept your grateful people's worship and song. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Always, you are our God. You are our Lord. Amen.